Well, it is great to see all of you here this morning, and I tell you, for me, it's a little strange. I usually have a keyboard or something in front of me. I debated on whether or not maybe I should give this morning's message just with a saxophone here, but then I thought, well, probably about halfway through, people would be like, is he actually going to play that thing? And, well, yeah, I probably actually would have, but anyways, we've been talking about filling our discipleship tool belt. As we continue our sermon series, we're now going to look at worship as an act of discipleship. In this series, we have been studying various disciplines of discipleship, those actions, those practices that will help us grow as disciples of Christ. We've talked about the discipline of saying no, being able to discern God's will, the importance of solitude and prayer, connecting to God's heart, the importance of Scripture, knowing Christ better by reading His Word, what it means to be the church, being a biblical community. We've also talked about generosity, not as a monetary value, but being centered on the lack of attachment to the things of this world. And last week, we discussed suffering. How suffering can produce perspective, humility, opportunity, and compassion. We are learning the disciplines that draw us closer to God. In 1 Timothy 4:7, it says, "Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness." We must strive to become more like Christ. We must discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness. God, our Father, wants us to become more like Him and His Son, Jesus Christ. So what can we do to become more like Christ? Well, we can read the Bible, we can pray, we can serve, we can give, and we can worship. Worship is an act of discipleship. We can worship to become more like Jesus. We can worship to become more godly. Godliness without worship, without the worship of God, is impossible. And here's the danger. Our worship can be without merit. Jesus had this to say in Matthew 15, verses 8 through 9. "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules." I like how the Message translated that. These people make a big show of saying the right thing, but their heart isn't in it. They act like they're worshiping me, but they don't mean it. They just use me as a cover for teaching whatever suits their fancy. Unfortunately, our worship can miss the mark. We can worship in vain. We can worship and not have our hearts in it. Our worship can be a facade, because we can go through the right motions, but not have the right focus. We can approach worship mindlessly, instead of mind fully. Worship isn't something we want to do on autopilot function. So today I want to look at four important aspects of worship. Our first one is, worship is focusing on and responding to God. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 8, we're told that four creatures around the throne of God worship day and night. They say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is to come." God is always to be the center of our worship. To worship Him is to magnify His holiness, His worthiness. He is worship. He is worthy of all the glory and honor we can give Him, and infinitely more. The more we focus on God, the more we understand and appreciate how worthy He really is. But something else happens in worship that is rarely talked about. The closer I come to a holy God in worship, the more I come to realize my unholiness. To be exposed to holy God should bring about a response in me that should have me examine my own life. You see it over and over again in the scripture. Where God is worshiped, and the worshiper cries out because their spiritual state is exposed. This is what happened to Isaiah in chapter 6 of that book. He cries out, "Woe to me," I cried. "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." That's verse 5 in chapter 6. To walk in the presence of God is a life-altering event. God is worshiped, man is made transparent. We are not worshiping if we are not focusing on God and responding to Him. You may be in a church building, a gym at the YMCA, singing songs, reading scripture, listening to a sermon, but without focusing on God and responding to Him, you are not worshiping. You may be just going through the motions. You can only be worshiping God by focusing on Him and responding to Him. Let's take a moment and focus on God and His greatness. And let's stand together and read Psalm 145 together. You should find it here on the screen. And I know it's difficult at times to read along Scripture, and a lot of us want to hold back, scared that we're going to say something when we should be pausing something. But we are reading the Word of God, and we are talking about God's greatness. And that is exciting stuff. So if you throw a great word about God out there in a break, that's fantastic, because we're reading and we're talking about our great God. Let's read Psalm 145 together. "I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works. And I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. Let's remain standing as we pray and we continue to worship this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are such a great God. You are good to all. Lord, we thank you for your compassion. We thank you for your richness in love. God, may your promises we hold true in our heart. Lord, you pick us up when we are down. You are there for us in our time of need. God, you are such a great, great God. Oh, so holy and worthy of oh, so much praise. Lord, may our praise and our worship reflect your greatness. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's continue to sing. seated. What a holy, holy God we serve. Now we're going to get to our second aspect of worship. Worship is conducted in spirit and in truth. The most profound passage on the subject of worship is found in John chapter 4. Follow along with me as I read. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth. That's John chapter 4, verses 23 through 24. Now, before you can worship in spirit and in truth, you must have the Holy Spirit within you. This happens when you come to Christ in repentance and in faith. Without him, true worship will not happen. To worship God in spirit is to worship from the inside out. That means there must be an attitude of sincere worship for there to be true worship. No matter how spiritual the song you are singing, no matter how profound the prayer you are praying, if it's not sincere, it's not worship. It's hypocrisy. When the scripture talks about worshiping in truth, it is talking about the truth revealed through the Bible. There are many attributes of God revealed in the scripture. We may like the fact that scripture talks about a God who is loving and kind, but the scripture also talks about a God who will come again to judge the living and the dead, and that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. God is a jealous God, and he does not allow our worship to be given to any other God that comes along. Just because we may not like that fact gives us no right to ignore that fact. He must be worshiped in spirit and in truth for it to be true worship. The Bible reveals God to us so that we can have a clear understanding of who he is and how we should respond to him. We should never stop worshiping him because we do not understand his ways fully. One of our acts of worship is to a God whom we comprehend, but never fully. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, God, we come to you this morning to hear your word. Lord, to take your truth and hide it in our hearts, to be then expressing your truth from the inside out through our worship. God, we know you are a great God. We know all of the great things you have done, and we know all of the great things that you are going to do. But God, your greatness is at a level that we cannot fully understand, that we cannot fully fathom. Lord, give us the desire, though, to continue to want to pursue knowing you more and more and more. And what's great about that, God, is you are so great that we get to know you, and we are excited, and we are alive, and yet there is still more to know. God, we live for you. God, we live for you through our lives, through what we say and what we do, through our worship of you. God, we thank you for being such a great God who is worthy of all of our praise. Let's stand together again and let's sing about our great, great God.
What? lucky to be. You were the King of Kings. Yeah, you were. Yeah, you were. And now you're reigning still, enthroned above all things. Angels and saints cry out. We'll join them as we sing. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God forever. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God forever. Creator God, you gave me breath so I could praise your great and matchless name.
So now we move to the third aspect of worship. Worship is expected both publicly and privately. Believers are expected to participate regularly in public worship. In Hebrews chapter 10, we read this. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. In that scripture in Hebrews, verses 23 through 25, make note of the words assembling together. This means Christians are to gather together with other believers for the expressed purpose of worship. Christianity is not an isolationist religion. There are to be no Lone Ranger Christians. Besides, even the Lone Ranger had Johnny Depp. Tonto, sorry. The New Testament describes the church as a body, a building, and a family. Each one of these terms speaks of the relationship between the individual units and that of the whole. We are individually Christian, but collectively, we are Christian too. The author of Hebrews even gives us the reason that we are to assemble together. Look at the passage from Hebrews again. we assemble together to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Our assembling together is an act of encouragement to other believers. We should always seek ways to encourage one another. And worshiping together should be habitually one of those ways. And on the other hand, public worship alone will not satisfy our need to meet God in those quiet places. Luke tells us, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. We find in the scriptures that Jesus faithfully participated in public worship, but he also faithfully participated in private worship as well. Matthew Henry, a familiar Puritan commenter, has said, "Public worship will not excuse us from secret worship. We must worship God with other believers as well as in private. That was the habit of Jesus, and it should be our habit as well." That brings us to the fourth fact on worship. Worship is a discipline to be learned and practiced. Jesus instructed us, "You shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only," in Matthew 4:10. To worship the Lord our God throughout our lifetime requires discipline. Without discipline, our worship of God will be inconsistent at best. The book of Hebrews has already told us that we are to consistently assemble together so that we can stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Forming holy habits takes consistency. Consistency takes discipline. Remember, worship is focusing on and responding to God. I love this next line. My footprints can lead me to the habit of worship, but my heartbeats must lead me to a relationship with God. Worship of God is an end in itself. There is no higher goal than to focus on God and respond to God. To reach that goal is to reach for godliness. The more truly we worship God, the more we become like him. Remember what I said at the beginning of the message? Godliness without the worship of God is impossible. It's a true statement. People become what they focus on. We emulate what we think about. Paul said it this way in Romans 12, verses 1 through 2, probably one of my many thousand of favorite verses from the Bible. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Focusing on the world more than on God makes me more worldly than godly. But if I would be more godly, I must focus on God. Godliness requires focused thinking. I must be transformed by the renewing of my mind. I must discipline myself for the purpose of godliness. So how can we apply this to our worship? Or even change our bad worship habits? It really comes down to discipline and commitment. We must commit to worshiping him daily, in all we do, in our relationships, how we speak to one another, in our actions, Are we honoring God in all we do and say? Do we find it easier to complain than to worship? I found what I thought is a great quote from Kyle Idleman. We talked about his book numerous times, not a fan. He's written another book, and I'm sure there'll be many more along the road. But this book that he has written is called God's at War. He has this to say. What we complain about reveals what really matters to us. Whining shows what has power over us. Whining, in many ways, is the opposite of worshiping the Lord. Worship is when we glorify God for who He is and acknowledge what He has done for us. But whining is ignoring who God is and forgetting what He has done for us. Wow. I mean, that one kind of hits. It's hard. We need to take an inventory of what really matters to us. Do we find that God is at the top of that list? Are we worshiping Him by keeping Him number one? Our worship should be in some ways like the object of our worship. Great praise for a great God. There is no part of God's greatness which is not worthy of great praise. Now, I was at a conference a number of years down the road. A lot of wonderful things happening, I'm sure. But there was one thing that always just stuck with me and will forever stick with me. And there was a speaker, and he had this question to pose to us. If somebody who didn't know the Lord were to walk into your church on a Sunday morning, Saturday night, whenever, and see you worshiping, would they know how great God is? And that's something, that question I'll never forget, and I'll always ask myself. If somebody who doesn't know the Lord, and they have no idea what it's about, they don't know God and His great ways, would they be able to know by how I'm responding to God for His greatness? I love that line. Great praise for a great God. C.S. Lewis says, "We praise what we enjoy because the praise not merely expresses but completes the enjoyment. It is not out of compliment that lovers keep on telling one another how beautiful they are. The delight is incomplete till it is expressed." Great praise for a great God. Pray with me. And we're just going to take a moment or two just to be quiet before the Lord here and let our hearts pray to Him and be open to Him and just express from the inside how great a God He is. And then I will close us in prayer and we will close with more continued worship. God, we pray that we can give You the great praise that You deserve. Because, Lord, You are a great God. God, you came down into a dark, dark world. And you were a light that just shined and opened our eyes so that we could see. So that we could see your beauty, the beauty of your creation, the beauty of your works, the beauty of a life spent with you. So God, we come before you this morning. We come before you this afternoon, this evening, throughout the week. We come to you to worship. God, we bow down. God, help us to stay strong, stay focused on you, and not lose sight of all that you are. Not lose sight of your pleasing, your perfect will. God, may all we do reflect how great you are. May our worship drive our lives and our actions and what we do and how we treat others. God, we'll never know everything that you are. God, we'll never know how much it cost to put your son on that cross. God, so here we are. Here we are to worship. Here we are to bow down. Here we are to say that you're my God. You are lovely, God, and you are worthy. Worthy of all that we can pour out in worship. God, may our worship come from the inside out. And may our worship bring you glory, honor, and praise so that your greatness can be known. Known beyond these doors, known in this world, so that people know there is no other but you. So that your kingdom may come, so that it may grow, so others who don't know you can know you and know this experience of what it's like to have this relationship with you. God, we thank you. We thank you so much for all that you are. God, we thank you so much for all that you've done. God, we thank you so much for all that is yet to come. Here we are to worship. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. We will sing one last song together. And just talking about that, about our great God, the light of the world, who came down into darkness. And after we sing this song, we will continue our worship with our giving as the ushers come forth. And then we will continue this time of worship as we go out into this world.
Love.
here I am to worship from the inside out.
So here I am to altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
We're going to remain in an attitude of worship, and maybe you use this time to focus in on God, to worship Him. But the ushers are going to come forward. You may be seated. And we're going to continue our worship through our giving. Great God we serve. Hey God, worthy of so much more than we can give. But that shouldn't stop us from giving. That shouldn't stop us from worshiping. As we go here today, we'll just do a short prayer here together, and then we will go out and we will worship. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for all that you are. We thank you that we are able to come together and freely worship you this morning. God, we pray for all of those right now who aren't able to do that freely, but God, who are still doing it so that people can know you. God, as we leave here today, let people be able to know you through our worship, through our living. God, and let people know how great you are. We are here for you. God, use us and send us out with the encouragement and the fire that we need to build your kingdom. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.